all-time favorite Run DMC. Well done, John. That's good stuff. Joining us now, we always like to bring him on with a little bit of old-school rap, Alex Andrade, because that's his jam, baby. State representative for District 2, the waterfront areas of both counties and the southern third or so of Escambia County. Alex, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. I'm happy to be back home today.
Are we in the sweet spot for you musically, or do we still need to, you know, tweak a little bit?
Man, we haven't talked about this since I first got elected like 6 years ago. But when I was talking about old school rap, I'm in my early 30s. I was talking about Lil Wayne, and
old school rap means different things to a millennial and a Gen Xer. Okay, all right, you've bit your tongue this whole time and thought, well, Andrew's trying to do a nice thing. Bless his heart.
I haven't had the heart.
All right, it's Carly Simon forever now. So you will be punished for that, youngster. Oh, that's funny. Oh, I hate that I asked. I'm glad I asked. You only learn when you're wrong when you ask questions, right? stuff you've been working on this week. What have you been working on? Guy with the biggest financial budget responsibilities in the state.
So this week was we had a committee meeting. We invited representatives from the Agency for Healthcare Administration, which is the agency that controls our $30 billion plus Medicaid budget.
ACA, as people often hear of it, ACA. Go on.
Yep. And then the Agency for Persons with Disabilities, or APD, which administers the Medicaid program known as the iBudget Waiver, which is our Medicaid program for people with disabilities who may need specialized programs and a specialized care plan based on their own individual specific needs. So there were two main issues that were going on. One was a cultural issue at ACA. That cultural issue resulted in the just disappearance of $160 million. And when I say disappearance of $160 million, I don't mean theft. I mean just they put it in the wrong bank account and they spent the money. And we found out that this $30 billion program, they only do reconciliations once a year. And
by the way, John, the accountant, my producer, just about threw up when he heard that. Like, he just can't believe a $30 billion budget and they reconcile their books. How often?
Once a year. And that's how $160 million can get lost in a year. Because it might sound surprising to some folks, but yeah, this agency, they put in the wrong bank account and they spent the money. This was money that's supposed to go to pay a federal fine to CMS, the federal entity that is Medicaid and Medicare.
Yeah,
it was supposed to go to pay a fine. Instead, it went to their trust fund and was used as cash flow. So now they have to ask for $160 million more from the legislature to actually pay the fine.
John cannot believe what you're saying right now. He just cannot believe this. How often should they reconcile their books if they were doing it properly?
From my perspective, at least monthly. They've now gone to reconciling it monthly. I mean, you could justify because of the amount of money going in and out constantly, you could justify doing it weekly or maybe daily is too much. I don't know, but like, you could probably justify doing it weekly given the amount of money that goes in and out of that agency. So at least they're going to do it 12 times as often as they did it when they lost $160 million.
Amazing.
But the other issue is APD. We have a wait list of people that need services, that need specialized services, and they have disabilities. That wait list amounts to about 22,000 people on this wait list currently. And we've been shoveling money to APD for years. For the past 5 years, we've given an average of $88 million to APD for the sole purpose of pulling people off of that wait list and getting them the care plan designed that they need to qualify for this program called the iBudget Waiver, which is a Medicaid program just designed for people with specialized needs. $88 million a year average, Andrew. Guess how much APD is asking us right now, telling us they have left over the past several years, and they're asking us to revert and reappropriate to them for the next coming year.
I hesitate to speculate.
$360 million.
What? So that's like four and a half years of budget.
So, correct. And so that's what we were trying to get a handle on this week was we are giving you this money to pull people off of this waitlist, people who are desperately in need of these services. What have you been doing with the money? It costs approximately $57,000 per individual to pull someone off the waitlist and get them the management care plan design that they need to qualify for this iBudget waiver program. $57,000 on average, that's how much it costs to pull somebody off.
So that's like roughly in the vicinity of 1,400, 1,500 people a year that you budget for?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all right. And yet our waitlist continues to grow, and APD has $360 million just sitting in a bank account that they are now asking us to return to them for another year. So getting to the bottom of that has also been an issue. While it was a respectful and professional meeting, at the end of the meeting, members of my committee did ask that both ACCA and APD come back next week so we can continue the discussion and have some follow-up discussions. And I anticipate we'll have a lot of follow-up discussions for the rest of the year until the end of it, just because there has been some lack of oversight, and we need to reestablish exactly what that oversight looks like. And because when there's a failure in a system, the fault doesn't lie with any one particular person. I don't know if we could have prevented the loss of $160 million, because it's not like when we as legislature give money to an agency, we expect them to do with the money what we told them to do with the money. You know what I mean?
Right.
But there's probably some fault to bear for the legislature, just for we haven't every year in and year out, we haven't dove in, you know, the way we could have to potentially have prevented the cultural issues that we're now seeing today.
Wow. Okay, we'll be back with Alex Andrade in just a second. State Representative of District 2, John Pickens, has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Alex Andrade. Alex, so I assume that you guys don't have the ability to hire, to fire. You only have to make recommendations. And it's hard to imagine a system that's that screwed up in an accounting sense that some people shouldn't be fired just to make a lesson of it. You know, like, this is accountability. Somebody's got to own this problem. There might be, you know, but just failing to do it better is enough reason to get rid of people. Are there going to be any terminations over all of this, or what do you think?
I think that there were some terminations within the agency, not just for any one specific act, but for what the secretary believes was mistakes or incompetence. The secretary at the time is now the governor's chief of staff. He's moved on from that role as of a month or two ago. So literally at the agency, at the top, like, four rungs of leadership, no one who was there last, say, January is still there. Other than the agency's chief of staff. And that's another, I think, kind of like problem with the culture over at ACCA has been there has been a brain drain. There have been several positions that have gone unfilled for a very long time. And between the turnover and the, you know, lack of oversight, these mistakes happened.
Lack of positions filled, like the governor's not doing his job to find people, to point people, or the hiring, or the people are not there because it's a competitive labor environment? What's the issue?
I think it's a combination, and if you ask three different people, they give you three different answers. But, okay. I mean, in the accounting department, in the accounts receivable and you know, in that department, there's 45 positions. And they've been operating with 25 positions for a couple years. And a new leader got hired last October, and she immediately worked to go fill at least 12 of those missing 20 positions. So
okay.
She saw the need immediately, and she was able to fill those. So I think it's, you know, there's probably some, you know, some cultural issues with, like, this is just how we've always done it. I'm going to show up to work. I'm going to do my 7 hours today, and I'm going to do my data input. And no one's actually sitting there thinking, am I being a good steward of taxpayer dollar? Am I following the legislative intent of the, like, am I actually right. meeting the legislative intent of our oversight requirements? Are we actually providing a good product to Floridians? And I think that that's just kind of been lost.
Well, it's and it's a case, as you've explained it, where I actually had the exact backwards impulse, which is, you know, firing people would just make the problem worse if the problem is shortage of personnel. You know, you can't fire people in a shortage. That's the issue that's causing the problem to begin with. So I appreciate you correcting me on that. Somebody asks, who's running APD right now? Is that a question that you have an answer for that makes sense to you?
Yeah. So the immediate prior Secretary Taylor Hatch, she was just appointed to lead DCF, Department of Children and Families. The head of DCF, Siobhan Harris, was just appointed to run ACCA. I could not tell you right now who the secretary at APD is, because their secretary was just appointed to DCF about a week ago.
Okay. Yeah, and the person who is asking is connected to Special Olympics, which that makes sense based on them being very curious about the situation. Wow. Okay, just a quick question. This is getting a sense of your temperature, what you think. Obviously, the bill to reduce the age for gun purchasing from 21 to 18, Republicans keep running it, the House keeps supporting it, the Senate keeps saying no. In your just anticipating the future, should we expect this is going to pass the Senate this year and get signed by the governor, or is this going to be another year where it doesn't change, if you had to say?
I don't know. So I'm one of two people that got an A+ from the NRA last fall. It was like me and a colleague named Chuck Brannon. All I know is all I can control, which is I'll absolutely vote up on that. I've always believed, and Andrew, you know, because we've talked about it at debates extensively. I do believe that an 18-year-old should be able to purchase a firearm like any other legal adult. And I have my very deeply well-reasoned reasons why. But I couldn't hazard a guess. All I know is what I control, and what I control is my own vote.
I understand. And, you know, I get that too, and that's fine. You're not even in the Senate. I'm asking you to, you know, handicap the Senate, which is always a bit of a challenge. Alex Andrade is our state representative for District 2. Alex, as always, thank you for the information. My God, it's horrifying. but thank you for sharing it with us, and thank you for being there trying to maybe change things so that kind of stuff doesn't happen again so much in the future. And we'll talk to you again soon, sir.
Thanks, Andrew.